Department of Injustice is forking over $135 million of your money because, well, the FBI didn't feel like investigating the sexual assault claims that were coming forward against Larry Nassar. And now you have to foot the bill. I'll bring you the latest. Special Prosecutor Jack Smith didn't want you seeing these documents. And now, thanks to that brave judge in Florida, you're going to get to see why the Biden administration was teaming up with other federal agencies to go after the former president. Julie Kelly joins us. It's a mistrial in Arizona against George Kelly, the man who was accused of gunning down an illegal on his property. We'll bring you latest with Border Hawk. Plant-based meats aren't a success here in the United States. So many Americans are opting out because, well, it's unhealthy. And for other reasons, J.D. Rucker joins us. All that and more on the Brianna Morello Show. Happy Tuesday, everyone. We're so happy you're joining us tonight because there's so much to unpack. Now, the theme of today's show, of course, is lawfare and how it's being used against not only just the president of the United States, but average Americans looking to defend themselves, well, because the federal government's not doing so. So we'll have so much to dive into with great people like Julie Kelly and reporter Wid Lyman. And there's so much to dive into. But first, we've got to head over to Citizen Free Press. There's a story that Kane just posted that I wanted to bring your attention to. And you guys know he is just he's ahead of everyone. Okay. Everyone on his team, SCFP's team, is just rock stars. They've been going through the headlines, grabbing the most important headlines that you need to see. And of course, the first thing that Kane has that caught my attention today that I think we got to go over is Alvin Bragg wanting 10 Trump posts removed. As many of you guys know, this is the second day of the trial, the persecution of President Donald Trump in Manhattan, New York. And well, again, folks, this is the same charges that several of the prosecutors declined to file because, well, it's not a real thing. What they're saying is stretched out. It's legal gymnastics. It would be misdemeanor in most cases, but the statute's up, so they couldn't do that. So they had to stretch this into felonies. And they're just hoping if they put enough liberal hacks on a jury that they could somehow stack the odds against the president and get a conviction. And well, with the judge who's just as equally as corrupt, it could possibly happen. Now, also, we should also note, today I had the unpleasant fortune of having to watch MSNBC, and well, many of their legal analysts were drooling over the trial, saying that it's just such a miracle that Trump won't be on the campaign trail pretty much, that instead he's got to be forced to be in this courtroom and he can only campaign one day a week now because they've tied him up so much with these legal battles. And they loved it, but they don't realize what they're saying. Or maybe they do, that it's un-American. It's an absolute disgrace that we have to continue to allow this to take place. But they're loving it because, you know, everyone over at MSNBC these days is a bunch of communists. And I'll leave out the other word that I was going to say, especially if there's kids in the room. But let's jump into this article here because I think it's really interesting. So today in court, day two of the trial, prosecutors, the Manhattan DA's office, again, folks, Manhattan DA's office, I should also remind you, is stacked with a popular Democrat law firm. They actually moved their employees into this office to work on this case. Plus, the DOJ also sent one of their officials in there as well. So again, you got the prosecutors stacking up against the former president. But today, it looks like that unconstitutional gag order that we've spoken about in the past, it looks like Alvin Bragg was trying to implement it and get the former president to remove 10 posts that he made online since that April 1st illegal gag order was implemented. And we'll just kind of skim through it because these are interesting. So the posts specifically are being flagged right now by AOL, and they're just kind of highlighting the fact that the first one has to do with Trump calling out Michael Cohen, Stormy Daniels, and their media appearances, and pretty much saying that they are hypocrites when it comes to the First Amendment, the outrage that Cohen and Daniels can do countless TV interviews while President Trump is slapped with a gag order is absolutely ridiculous. Well, yeah, heck yeah, guys. Heck yeah, he shouldn't have to sit there and have to deal with that. I would say it's ridiculous. It's unconstitutional. Why is this man supposed to allow the public to bash him and all of his enemies do nonstop interviews, lie about him and his character, and he's just supposed to sit there and pretend like everything's okay? Listen, you don't have to be a Trump supporter to understand the fact that in this country, we do not have political trials for this very reason. You were trying to silence a political opponent of the president of the United States because, well, you don't like him. And they're doing so through this gag order. They're trying to bash his character publicly, and he's not allowed to defend himself. Again, folks, they're flagging more posts that he made on Truth Social, and it has to do with Stormy Daniels, a 2018 claim, a statement that she released denying her relationship with President Trump. Now, again, folks, this is a letter that, I mean, just look at it. This is a letter that she has allegedly signed, okay? So he's not making things up. He's showing you evidence to prove that he's an innocent man. And Manhattan DA's office doesn't like that. They don't want you seeing this. They don't want you seeing that in writing, she signed it, allegedly signed a letter that's saying, I am denying this affair because it never happened. Because that's the core of their argument. They're alleging an affair happened when she signed this letter, it looks like, alleging it did not happen. Again, there's more tweets, and they're all in regards to Michael Cohen on this one, Jonathan Turley. So he's backing up a claim that was made by Jonathan Turley, who was doing a flattering article on him. Again, saying that this old misdemeanor against Trump in an embarrassment for is an embarrassment for the New York legal system. Again, he's just citing Jonathan Turley and his legal analyst work that he's doing right now. And they don't like it. Again, like how is this bad? It's bad when you don't want the truth coming out. And that's exactly what the Manhattan District Attorney does not want you finding out. So he's not allowed to defend himself. He's not allowed to go out there and publicly say what the facts of these arguments are. He's just allowed to let them bash his character, and he has to have his hands tied behind his back and not respond to any of this. And that's what they want him to do. But he has to fight back. Regardless of the $1,000 fine or whatever they want to impose for this gag order, you got to fight back. You've got to defend your character. And I 100% agree with the president on this. And again, folks, he's just citing more articles to back the fact that these individuals are liars. Another one looks like he's quoting Jesse Waters. Yeah, he is. So no surprise here, folks. They don't want him speaking out. They don't want him talking about any of this. They just want to continue to bash his character, and he has to sit there and comply. And if he doesn't, well, the fat ass, which is known as Alvin Bragg, he will come after him, and he will completely try to bankrupt the former president. And again, prosecutors are also seeking to fine Trump $1,000 for each of these posts. Yeah, you get your little fine. These people are infuriating. It's infuriating to continue to watch them manipulating our legal system just because they wanted to benefit the president of the United States right now because, well, he's not doing well polling-wise, health-wise. The American people know. The American people aren't stupid. They see right through this. They know this is a political persecution. You can't sit there and continue to lie about this. You can't continue to bash this man's character. This is all a lie, and it will continue to come out. And the president of the United States is a liar. He should be in prison. He should be the one on trial, but we don't do political trials in this country because we all know how they end. It is an awful thing for democracy, but I still think he should be tried because, well, he is not the rightful president of the United States, Joe Biden. He is planted by the intel communities, and we all know it. So I'm not going to sit here and continue to pretend like this man is a man of integrity and a man who is a leader. He is not. He's brain dead. He is a loser. He is a individual who's accused by his own daughter of taking inappropriate showers with him, and nobody wants to investigate that to see if our president of the United States is a predator. Instead, they're going after a man because, well, he said a couple of mean things, and he might out the intel community. So now we're going to go after him. We're going to hook up all these charges and go full force. So the president of the United States is pushing, the former president of the United States is pushing back on all of this, and rightfully so. But the American people are with President Trump, and they are not with the intel communities installed president candidate. Hours ago, the Department of Injustice announced that they were, well, reaching a settlement with the victims of Larry Nassar. Now, many of you guys know Larry Nassar is a predator, and, well, the FBI failed here. But before we highlight all of that, let's talk about the settlement. They settled for $138.7 million. And that's just not DOJ coughing up the cash. That's your money. Because the FBI failed these poor young women that now you have to actually foot the bill. Well, listen, folks, I'm fired up about this for many reasons. Number one, these women deserve justice, real justice, not just this fake, oh, we'll give you $138 million and we'll call it even. That's not justice at all. Nazareth right now is obviously sitting in prison, but he should have been put to death. We're talking about over 100 victims from that man. And yet, for some reason, we're sitting here pretending like $138 million is calling it even. Let me remind you, folks, the FBI failed major in this one. The FBI failed to investigate the claims that these girls were making. And because of that, he was able to go out there and sexually assault other girls. It's an absolutely disgusting story. And for some reason, we just can't seem to wrap. I mean, I can't seem to wrap my mind around this. The fact that we're going to sit here and call it even. Call it even. That's our money going to this. Our money. Who was charged with a crime for doing this? The FBI. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody was charged with the FBI. And just to highlight the craziness, there were also individuals who were actually allowed to retire early than expected what they wanted to and get their benefits. There were also some who were fired. But the DOJ declined to file charges against those that refuse to go after this man, this predator. Now, just to remind our folks at home, Larry Nassar, he was somebody who worked over at the Michigan State University. He was a team doctor. He was, you know, based with the USA Gymnastics. He's now serving decades in prison for assaulting these athletes. And they tend to use assault, too, in, as describing what happened. But this is rape. We need to stop using all these indirect terms to describe what happened. This man was a predator. He should be executed. 100 girls, and we're going to sit here and pretend like, oh, we'll just throw him in jail. Executed. That's what he should be. It's an absolute disgrace. And again, folks, there's no actual justice in this because, well, no one's being charged for ignoring what happened to these girls. They were fired, but they weren't actually prosecuted. And that's the big point here. Right? They should be prosecuted. If you don't want to do your job, don't sign up to work for the FBI. If you want to be a coward, don't sign to work up in law enforcement. That's not who we need in the front lines of all of this. And just to also highlight it, folks, again, these girls came forward and they asked for help. And the FBI, instead of helping them, turned their backs on these girls and allowed this man to continue on. And we see this time and time again. The FBI is just a political leg of the Democratic Party now. They don't want to get involved in actual sexual assault cases. You know, I've spoken to members of the FBI who say normally this just gets kind of like tossed aside and handed to like child services, and they don't want to deal with it. It's an absolute disgrace, and there's really no fixes in any of this. We haven't heard of any actual reforms that are being made so that this stuff doesn't happen. 139 claims. I mean, understand that, folks. 139 claims. These poor girls had their lives destroyed by this man. And all they get is a small check that you and I are going to have to pay. And nobody is going to be held accountable for this. It's an absolute disgrace, but it just reminds us all, folks, the FBI is not doing the work that they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be protecting the American people. They have abandoned that oath, and they no longer want to partake in actually protecting you and I. Instead, they're looking to fluff up their domestic terrorism numbers and go after people like you and I because we believe in our country, we believe in our Constitution, and they don't like that. And so, sadly, sexual assault claims from all around the country that are being made to the FBI right now are probably getting tossed aside because it won't boost domestic terrorist numbers. And that's what they're looking to do. They're looking to go after the American people, not protect the American people. And this is just another point that we need to drive home. Now, it's interesting enough because FBI agents have been reaching out to me in regards to this specifically. And I posted it earlier today on X, and I want to drive home this point because Bobby Chacon, who's a former FBI agent, who is a former employee, tweeted specifically this to me. They, FBI headquarters and DOJ, allowed the head of the Indy FBI field office to retire after learning he was, you know, again, pushing aside all these allegations in an attempt to get his post FBI dream job as their head of security. And again, a part of his thank you for helping to hamper the investigation, the FBI's LA office had to break the case. So ultimately, he was rewarded, is what Bobby Chacon's getting at, for doing this and to following this type of behavior. And again, this is nothing that's surprising. I mean, I hear about it all the time. I'm in chats with all these guys all the time. They talk about this stuff all the time. The FBI does not want to do their job. They want to sit here. They want to go after you and I. They don't want to do what their main obligation is, as to protect children And it's just one of the many obligations for being sexually assaulted, raped in this country. And again, they don't give a damn. So now you and I have to cough up another $138 million because, well, the FBI didn't want to do their job. And we'll never really understand why that took place, why they decided not to go after Larry Nassar, because, well, they don't have to answer anyone. The intel community has zero accountability. They will never, 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 never have to answer to you and I. Even when you bring them up in front of Congress and you put their directors like Christopher Wray up in that hot seat, guess what? You'll get nothing. Because he doesn't care. He doesn't take any of them seriously. Tucker Carlson told you all over the weekend on Joe Rogan's show, they're all afraid of the intel community. They don't want them planning child pornography like they did to Cheryl Atkinson's husband on their devices. They don't want their weird sexual kinks to be aired out in front of the world. So our politicians will not ask the hard questions. Instead, they will continue to look the other way while our Department of Justice and FBI work against the will of the American people. Okay. Well, we have some very exciting news. We have now a new sponsor of our show, and it's a product that I'm really excited about because I've been using it for a very long time. It's a service, I should say. It is mygotodoc.com. Now, the reason why I'm telling you all about this is because remember during the pandemic when you struggled to get ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or anything that would actually work against the virus? Well, this is the solution. Dr. Hyder, who we're going to have on our show later this week, is the man behind this incredible source. Now, I have ivermectin thanks to him, and that's something that we all should have in our homes. And his services are incredible because it's like a telehealth service. And then he's got a whole bunch of other services that you guys could indulge in. So the website, again, folks, is mygotodoc.com. And that's two, just T-O, just to be more specific for those who are listening. And then he's got all of these great options of services he provides. So he's got just regular services, COVID services. So that's you're dealing with like long-term COVID effects. He's got solutions for you there. He's also got supplements. He's got these essential medical kits, and which are critical for those of you who travel overseas. This is really something you got to take a look at because the antibiotics that he gives you in that is amazing, something that everyone should consider. He's also got a health coaching service that he does, weight loss program, and then he gives you some tips through his blog and things that he's looking into and stuff. So it's really, really important. Now, again, folks, I've got my ivermectin. I actually travel with ivermectin thanks to him, and I think it's really important that everyone does. There are so many of you at home too who might be dealing with these long-term effects of COVID, and this is a really important source. Now, just because you're listening today, you're going to get 10% off when you use promo code BREE, that's B-R-E, and includes all of his services and medications too from what I'm told. So that's a great plus in all of this. So again, that promo code is BREE, B-R-E, and you'll save 10% off for just saying that. And then again, folks, the vaccine exemption letter, he's got that, but he's also got these protocols for COVID long haul syndrome and those who are vaccine injured. So let's say your loved one, maybe they weren't listening to me during the pandemic and they got the jab. It's okay. A lot of us did. My family members did as well. And they're suffering from some of the severe consequences of that. Well, this is a great resource for them. Just give them a call. Okay, if you want to head over to the website, look more into it. Again, it's mygotodoc.com. And then there's also the phone number. It's 281-393-8266. That's 281-393-8266. And when you use promo code BREE, B-R-E, you're going to get 10% off of his services and his products. So I highly recommend you do so. We could all use some savings these days. So again, folks, we'll have Dr. Hyder on later this week to detail some of his incredible services over at mygotodoc.com. Well, we have some very exciting news that we wanted to bring you. You guys might recall Sergeant Ken Harrelson. He's one of the many J6ers who are being persecuted by our Department of Justice. Well, he's just been released finally. Took a very, very long time. This is the photo that his wife, Angel, who's standing right next to him, posted on Twitter yesterday. The two for the last couple of years have been separated and it's been heartbreaking. But we've covered their story on this show. And seeing this image made me so excited. We dearly love the Harrelson family. They have been wrongfully prosecuted by our Department of Justice. The DOJ committed perjury during his trial. It was the Oath Keepers trial. It was the first one that took place. one of his co-defendants was Stuart Rhodes. We talked about it on the show often. But sadly, so many of them are still in prison because of the DOJ's lies. And we are working our hardest to free those men and women. But ultimately, folks, this is just some heartwarming news that Ken Harrelson is a free man as of right now. He is on probation. He was very excited. He's very, very optimistic for his future. And he was just happy to be home with his family. And that was the big one. He actually has two new dogs that he's never met before. And so he finally was able to meet his pups, which we're very, very excited about. And we will have Ken Harrelson on this show exclusively, of course, in the upcoming days. And he's got so much to talk about because so much has happened to him. He has been wronged by our government. And we can't just ignore it. We have to talk about it. So we're very, very excited for the Harrelson family as they enjoy this moment. It is incredible. It is well-deserved. And we're hoping that we have many of these moments and bring all of our J6ers home. Okay, perfect. There are new documents that have just been released thanks to Judge Cannon, and it walks you through the Biden regime's role in that, remember that search warrant that they had executed on President Donald Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago, as many of you guys know? Well, we're starting to see kind of like the behind the scenes look at all of this, and it's thanks to that release. Now we're gonna go through why Jack Smith, of course, a special prosecutor, didn't want you to see this, but let's just highlight some of the most important parts. So here, what you're looking at right now on your screen is just more proof that the Biden administration worked with the National Archives to kind of go after all these documents. Ultimately, it's the DOJ who's admitting to, you know, talking through everything with the administration and kind of walking them through it. And it's not even just that, folks. It's also the DOJ in this next one giving the National Archives kind of tips on how to cover their tracks. It's all extremely disturbing, but I also want to remind our audience, on the left, it was actually originally what Special Prosecutor Jack Smith wanted you to see, but ultimately, you can't see a lot there because a lot of it's redacted. Ultimately, Judge Cannon said, no, we're going to release the ones on the right. And thankfully, she did so. And it really just exposes the behind the scenes look at all of this. Now, Julie Kelly has been doing a great job at uncovering all of this. And that's the real point I want to drive home here. In this tweet, she walks you through ultimately the methods and the reason why Jack Smith ultimately wanted to conceal all of these documents. He's pleading with the judge at the time, this was written in February of 2024, to kind of validate why you at home shouldn't understand as to what the DOJ's role into all of this was specifically. And we'll let you guys read it for yourselves. We'll include the link in the description below, but I'll give you a brief overview. He says, Jack Smith specifically, defendants are not entitled to discovery of internal government correspondence, documents, and other privileged materials, which is strange too, folks. We're talking about the President of the United States who had the highest clearance level and should be the one to look at these things, especially because it's evidence being used against him, but they didn't want you to see it. And then it goes on, which she highlights towards the bottom of all of this, defendants' request for unredacted discovery of materials should be denied. Again, folks, it is your right, especially when the DOJ is filing charges against you, to see that critical discovery material. And the fact that Jack Smith's office didn't want you to see it really drives this thing home. I want to bring in the woman who really went through all this and sifted through it because, well, this is a difficult read. And so there's very few people who understand it quite like her. Let's bring in Julie Kelly. She is the writer of juliekelly.substack.com. Julie, you've been very busy going through all these documents, and it's kind of hard to understand just for the average American popping in and out of the story. Because it's very specific. There are specific characters that are in these documents that you have to know and you have to follow it through since day one. So I want you to walk us through this specifically. So the Biden regime ultimately was communicating with the National Archives and was kind of walking them through all of this. What was the most egregious thing that you found so far in these documents that are now unsealed?
Well, I think proof of collusion early on between the National Archives, the Department of Justice, Joe Biden's Department of Justice, and his White House counsel. Now, Brianna, as your viewers know, what we were told, the American people, what we were told by Special Counsel Jack Smith, is that Donald Trump refused to turn over records to the National Archives that belonged to the government. So after months of negotiation, Donald Trump finally produced 15 boxes, gave it to NARA January of 2022. And oh my gosh, they opened up the boxes and there were all these classified records that jeopardized national security. And so they went right to the DOJ and FBI, opened an investigation. And that's how it happened. Well, that's not what happened. And this is exactly why Jack Smith and the DOJ wanted this evidence concealed. They did not want Judge Cannon to do what she ultimately decided, which is to agree with the defense to open up the sunlight, spread some sunlight on this very dark case that has been under wraps for many reasons, and let the American people know exactly or pretty much what happened here and what the evidence revealed. And this was a motion to compel that was filed in January, heavily redacted under the protective order, and then refiled yesterday with many of the redactions in the motion and the exhibits removed. So what it demonstrated, Brianna, is what we've seen happen for almost a decade when it comes to Donald Trump: high-powered agencies working with a Democrat White House to concoct criminal allegations against Donald Trump and people around him, and to put him on the stand, to drain him of his time and his legal resources and his finances, keep him now off the campaign trail, as we see in New York, and really concoct a case out of thin air. And that is what a lot of these documents, emails, records, and of course this motion, unredacted records showed yesterday.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what they're looking to do here. You know, I had the unfortunate privilege of dipping in on some MSNBC coverage of that Manhattan trial that he's going through right now. And everyone was kind of laughing off the fact that he can't be on the campaign trail 5 to 7 days a week like any campaign would ideally want, that he has to sit here and focus on this trial now because a judge won't even let him go to his son's graduation. And so they thought that was funny. But these types of things don't happen in the United States of America. We don't do trials. We don't do political trials. And this is exactly why we don't do it. This is just some banana republic stuff that we see. And I wanted to drive home another point. You know, you highlighted another article that I thought, or another part of the document that I thought was pretty interesting. You write this on Twitter: despite the extensive cooperation, by the way, between the DOJ and the National Archives, they still subpoenaed the National Archives for other documents. Now, these 19 documents that they're looking to go after are all related to Crossfire Hurricane and the John Durham investigation, which is interesting in itself. What do you make of that? Because to me, it sounds like they might have wanted those documents back because they don't want what's in those documents to potentially get out there.
Right. And so this has been part of the suspicion by many that this entire endeavor, and certainly the raid at Mar-a-Lago on August of 2022, was an attempt by the FBI to recover materials that Donald Trump took, that he declassified, that outlines other really bombshells about the entire Russiagate scandal and John Durham's investigation, the so-called binder that we keep hearing about. So if you fast forward to May of 2023, well, the FBI has already taken all sorts of documents. The Trump team handed them over. And then, of course, they seized, 13,000 pieces of evidence out of Mar-a-Lago in August. Did they not find the Crossfire Hurricane records that they were looking for? So then they were going to subpoena NARA, the archives, to give them all of the boxes and all the files to search through those, not just the classified records that allegedly had the papers that allegedly had classified markings, but also were there Crossfire Hurricane records in those boxes. So what my understanding is that when the National Archives turns over records to a government agency, they have to automatically notify the holder of those records, which would be Donald Trump. But of course, the subpoena would give them some legal and judicial cover from that notification being triggered. So that's my understanding of why they then subpoenaed an agency, which had been cooperating with them for 2 years at that point.
Yeah.
So it is a sort of just another interesting wrinkle as to, could this be the driving force, aside from all of the other benefits to DOJ and the White House, which is prosecuting Donald Trump and two of his co-defendants, and possibly putting him on trial a few months before the election. Was that the driving agenda there, trying to recover Crossfire Hurricane documents that Trump quite frankly, for years said that he was going to release, but perhaps he was holding on to them to release them at a more opportune moment.
Yeah, I would love to hear what's in those documents because, I mean, they were looking for them. And you know, when they're looking for something like that, there's a reason why they're looking to probably to protect themselves or they're at fear of what's in it. So we'll see how that plays out. Now, I also saw another one of your tweets that I thought was interesting because you also brought your audience's attention to the Department of Energy. And then in this tweet, you say that the Department of Energy discovered after Smith handed down his indictment that Trump still had an active security clearance. And so they retroactively terminated it. What do you make of that? Because I think he's the president of the United States, the former president of the United States. That's pretty telling that they did that.
Well, it was interesting, Brianna, because I was in the courthouse a few weeks ago, and Judge Cannon was really grilling Jack Smith's team, his lead prosecutor, Jay Brett, about how security clearances work. And she asked, is there a formal process where after a president is sworn in or he's elected, that you confer security clearance or privileges to that individual? And Jay Brett said no. And then she asked furthermore, well, when a president leaves office, is he automatically stripped of a security clearance? And Jay Brett said, well, yes, he is. But if there's no formal process to confer security clearance, that you automatically receive it because you are the president and you're getting intelligence briefings, et cetera, then the minute you left, then all of a sudden, who decides then that you don't have security clearance anymore? Jay Brett and the Department of Justice? The intelligence community? How does this work? Well, so what happened here is after Jack Smith handed down his first indictment, someone did a little sleuthing at the Department of Energy, realized that Donald Trump still had this outstanding, what they call Q security clearance. And I think it's related to at least one of the documents of the 32 that are charged under the Espionage Act. And then the Department of Energy retroactively terminated his security clearance. Not really sure if that's accurate or how it works, but even if they did, how could they retroactively terminate it beginning one in January of 2021? And they did it in June of 2023. So that is just one more scandal representative of the behind-the-scenes corruption and machinations trying to get this classified documents indictment to work. And so that is one thing that also Jack Smith said, well, no, that's not important. You're not entitled to that discovery. The Department of Energy is not part of the prosecution team. You know, they're not involved in this case, so you're not entitled to get that information. So, but we did get at least some insight into what happened there with that memo.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting. And I'm glad we do have that insight now to kind of understand what was going on behind the scenes there. Before we let you go, I wanted to kind of get your take on all of this because, well, as you said in your tweets, it's a very well-coordinated effort by the Biden administration to go after and to use these agencies to go after President Donald Trump. But it's not just that. We have the evidence that these prosecutors between Letitia James, Fannie Willis, Nathan Wade have all met and have been in the White House. And I think that's what's really important here, too. But it's not just that, too. You know, it came out in Political earlier this year that Joe Biden himself was upset with Merrick Garland because, well, he thinks that he wasn't moving fast enough to go and investigate President Trump. And he thinks if he was, that potentially we would have had him on trial and he would have been wrapped up even sooner than what we're seeing now play out in Manhattan. So right. Between that we keep hearing about, plus the stuff that just came out yesterday with all these court filings that were made public, how do you think the Trump legal team kind of fights back on all of this? Because it's very, very clear that this is coming from the top of the White House, and this is not just some random prosecution that any average American would have to go through.
Well, look, we can all see what a petty, angry man that Joe Biden is. We could see the just outrage in his eyes the moment he has to bring up Donald Trump. You know, he's threatened to take him behind a building and beat him up. You know, he's made other sorts of threats to Donald Trump. So we're just supposed to believe that this raging person is in the Oval Office taking a hands-off approach to his DOJ and their two-pronged investigation into Donald Trump for classified documents in January 6th. No. And Politico not only reported that, But the New York Times had an extensive piece talking about Joe Biden's anger about the slow pace, allegedly slow pace of the investigation into January 6th. And how, you know, that was, it wasn't slow walked, but he wanted it done a lot faster. So no one believes that Joe Biden is just sitting there doing his job at the Oval Office and has no clue what's going on with the DOJ. It's more likely that this is, has been, and is a top priority of Joe Biden, because of course we already know he doesn't want to debate him. He certainly doesn't want to confront him on the campaign trail or talk about the issues or why Americans are so disillusioned with Joe Biden and his presidency, the economy, immigration, you name the issue. You know, his approval ratings on everything are is in the toilet. So he wants to keep Donald Trump in courtrooms and dealing with court filings and go on trial in New York and maybe go on trial in Southern Florida, then maybe go on trial in Washington, because that's the only way that Joe Biden and his team and Democrats think that he can win. So this is, no one in their right mind would believe that this is not and has not been a top priority of Joe Biden himself to make sure that these criminal prosecutions move forward.
Absolutely. It has been a top priority for him. And we could tell why at this point. He's not doing too well with the American people, and health-wise, it's deeply concerning what he has going on there. But nobody wants to admit that these days. Julie Kelly, you're doing great work, and I want to redirect our audience to your Substack page. That's the best way to support you. So head over to juliekelly.substack.com. And as well, your Twitter account is always so insightful. So definitely go give Julie a look on Twitter. I appreciate everything that you do, Julie Kelly. Thank you much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for all you do too, Brianna. Hope to be back soon.
Absolutely. Thank you. If you enjoyed that interview, make sure you guys are subscribing right now to our channel. And if you're watching, of course, you got to give us either a thumbs up if you're watching on any of the channels like Rumble or YouTube, or if you're listening on any of the podcasting platforms, you could give us a 5-star review for every single episode. We greatly appreciate when you do. And share our content with your friends, even the ones that don't agree with you. Maybe you'll change their mind. And if you're looking to support independent journalism and an independent journalist like myself, you can head over to supportbree.com. We don't have any big advertisers like Big Pharma or any of those sketchy companies. Our donations come specifically from you guys. So again, folks, it's supportbree.com. We'll be right back.
You weren't inundated with thoughts about what today might bring?
No.
No. Why not?
I feel confident today.
You feel confident today?
I'm going home today.
You're going home today?
Yeah, for good.
Going home for good.
Good.
What makes you believe that?
I have faith.
That was so sweet to hear. So that's George Kelly. Now, we told you about him on this show. He is a 75-year-old man who's put on trial for allegedly, as the prosecutors were trying to frame him for, shot and killed, and they call it a migrant, but ultimately it was a drug smuggler, on his property. So, well, how did this end for the prosecutors? Well, not well, of course. It ended yesterday in a mistrial, and things are starting to look up for Mr. George Kelly, and we are so happy about that. But I want to bring in a guest who followed his trial and was in the courtroom when it was getting very, very heated. So joining us now is Wid Lyman. He is one of the great reporters over at BorderHawk.news. Wid, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Brianna, good to talk to you again. Thank you.
Well, we're so excited to hear that this ended in a mistrial, but it sounds like, according to reports, this was a toss-up, actually, because only one person was holding out of just not turning in a not guilty verdict. What are you hearing took place in that courtroom yesterday?
So on Friday of last week, the jury notified the judge that they were pretty much at an impasse at that time. And both parties involved, the state and defense, said, go back, take the weekend, come back Monday and deliberate. They deliberated for most of Monday, and they came back with the same resolution. We're at an impasse. We're not going to reach a verdict. We don't think it's going to happen. The judge gave them impasse instructions and dismissed the jury and then declared a mistrial at that time. Now, the state and defense can go and interview the jury, and they did that. And one of the defense attorneys, Ms. Lothorpe, came out and said 7-1 voting for acquittal, which is not the best indication for the state, right? A great indication for Mr. Kelly and his team, but not a good indication for the state. So one person was unable to vote for a guilty verdict on any of the charges, Brianna. So he had a second degree murder charge. He had an aggravated assault charge. They had lesser charges of, you know, lesser than the second degree. They had some other options in terms of manslaughter, and they still couldn't convict him of any of those things. So the verdict came back as a mistrial at this time. The state has about a week to decide whether or not it wants to retry the case. Now, as you know, this case took about 3 weeks for the state to do their part, and then a day and a half for the defense. So they have about a week to decide whether or not to move forward with another trial.
And I think it's so interesting because, well, he's not arguing, he wasn't arguing self-defense. He was arguing in regards to the shooting itself. Now, I know you talked about it on this show a little bit. I want you, just in case our audience didn't get that glimpse of what happened in the courtroom, I want you to go back and describe what exactly they were arguing, because there were no casings from you know, the gunfire they were saying went off, and they couldn't find, I believe it was a bullet, and they were trying to make all these arguments that Mr. Kelly was the one who shot and killed this man, but they actually couldn't prove it. So tell us about that.
That's correct. They were not able to prove what they were alleging in this case. So January of last year, Mr. Kelly is alleged to have shot and killed Gabriel Quen Butamea, who is a Mexican national found on his property dead of a single gunshot wound. He was also charged with aggravated assault of Daniel Ramirez, who is a Honduran living in Mexico at the time. And as you alluded to in their open, you know, what were these people doing on his property? Mr. Butamea was found with binoculars, a radio, a small backpack, wearing camouflage and other concealing garments, military style boots, kind of used in that area. So, you know, what was he doing on the property? The defense alleges that he was there doing something nefarious and not pursuing the, you know, American dream, which is what a lot of people kind of has said. And then Daniel Ramirez, who also was supposedly on his property at the time, you know, he claims to have been shot at, and he claims that he was just looking for a better life as well. But he has prior convictions of drug smuggling. He has 10 plus deportations under his belt already. So these two people were, you know, on the property at the time, allegedly. One of them was found dead, and the state was trying to say that Mr. Kelly shot and killed this man. But again, as you pointed out, they were not able to prove this, and a 7-1 not guilty vote is certainly far away from getting what they desired in this case.
Yeah, I think it was obvious that the jury wasn't going to swing towards the prosecutors and all of this, because it was ultimately a case that they really weren't able to prove, and it was very, very obvious. I believe initially he was charged with first-degree murder, and then the judge was the one who bumped it down to second. Is that correct?
Yes, that is entirely correct. That came up during the trial. One of the lead prosecutors interviewed Mr. Kelly the night of the incident and, you know, immediately said, all right, we're going to arrest you for first degree murder. And the defense attacked him for that. So what evidence do you have for first degree murder, which is the highest charge, you know, in our judicial system? So they certainly jumped the gun on that one. The $1 million bond that was put up for him as well, or posted for him, that was a huge national story as well. So it's very obvious to me, having followed every moment of this trial, that the state was going after Mr. Kelly. And the defense alluded to this in their closing, where they really singled him out. They did not investigate other options very well. And they had thin physical evidence. As you noted, no bullet was found. They were unable to trace it to any firearm belonging to Mr. Kelly. And that in the end sort of sunk their ship, right? The jury was not on their team in terms of putting together all of the other evidence.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting too, because I say that Mr. Kelly shouldn't have been put on trial at all, right? If anyone should have been put on trial, it should have been our government for failing to protect Mr. Kelly from these invaders who are constantly coming into his farm, his land, and invading. And he doesn't know who these people are. There's a lot of drug smuggling in the area. We know that they took the jury to his home to kind of look around the property and feel it out for themselves so they could understand just from the perspective of what he had to go through. Ultimately, though, he's called Border Patrol on several occasions, flagging the fact that drug smugglers were on his property and they weren't able to do anything to protect him. And that's one of the, I think, most jarring parts in all of this, that our federal government, their only obligation is to protect the American people. And Mr. Kelly is proof that they didn't. And if you decide to try to, and this, he doesn't even acknowledge this part, but if you decide to try to prosecute them for defending themselves in their homeland, what happens? Well, you'll be put on trial and they will go after you and drain you financially. And for a 75-year-old man, gosh, I could only imagine health-wise what this does to his health, because, yeah, he's walking around and he's able to walk around, but he doesn't look like he's 100% healthy. What did you hear anything regarding his health conditions? Has deteriorated since his arrest? Because this weighs a lot on people's minds, and this does cause health issues.
I don't know how it wouldn't impact him in some way. I mean, even, you know, the way he moves and the way he's walking and talking, and he's obviously doing very well. But like you said, how does a year and a half process being with the thought of being put in prison the rest of your life, being charged with a very serious crime, I mean, how does that not impact you from a stress perspective? You know, Mrs. Kelly actually testified in this case, and she acknowledged it's been hell. It's been so hard for them going forwards. And they're hoping to have all this done and put behind them. You know, we're still in a bit of limbo here for the next week, but this has to weigh on anyone. And you're also correct about the role of the federal government in this. You know, we talked to other ranchers on the border, and they say similar stories that Mr. Kelly talks about. Lots of people crossing, whether it be family units, single adults, drug runners. You know, Mr. Kelly stated during the investigation that he saw rifles. He has seen rifles in the past. You know, we've had endless issues along the border. And this is the reality for some of these Arizona ranchers out in kind of the outback, either hundreds or thousands of acres that they have. You know, this is their reality day in and day out. And it is a total failure of the federal government to protect these people, U.S. citizens in this case, from these threats and these advances and people just going across your property in general. I mean, the other rancher that we talked to, Brianna, he's had 500,000 encounters on his property over the last two decades. I mean, that is a staggering amount of people. Just one person walking across your property that you don't know is too much.
Yeah, it is too much. And they shouldn't have to endure any of this. The government's only obligation is to protect the American people, and they're intentionally failing to do so. I guess we'll wait to see if the state continues to prosecute Mr. Kelly. I just guess, just from the numbers alone, they don't see this as being favorable. But they love wasting taxpayer money, so we never can really tell. Whit Lyman, thank you for joining us. I love all the work that you guys are doing over at Border Hawk News. So it's borderhawk.news for our folks at home who are looking to stay up to date with everything that's going on right now at our southern border. It's very, very interesting, and I highly recommend you do. Whit, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having us, and thank you for covering the story.
Thank you. Well, it looks like it's an absolute bust for plant-based meats, and rightfully so. There's a new report out saying that plant-based meats, who were expected, the brand itself was expected to kind of just boom, and well, it's not these days. Now let's take a look at this article that comes out from Wired.com, because it's very, very telling. In it, they're saying, you know, obviously there was this big boom back in 2018 and 2021 regarding plant-based foods, and it was expected to be this massive industry bringing in $4.8 billion to about $7.4 billion. But now, according to a new report, it's not doing so well. So over the last 2 years alone, these products have seen a 13% drop in sales. And well, that's not it. As prices of meat alternatives have gone up, this masks a much greater drop in unit sales over the same time period. They fell about 26% from 2021 and 2023. So it looks like Americans all across the country are finally gaining some sense, and they're not willing to go on the Bill Gates diet. And joining me to discuss is JD Rucker. He is the co-founder of BriannaMeat.com. JD, this is good news. Americans are, it looks like, rejecting these plant-based products. And we talked about it a couple of shows ago. They're extremely unhealthy for Americans, according to, you know, other studies. But now it just looks like most Americans are just turning away and rejecting it altogether. What's your takeaway from this?
Well, I mean, it's everything. It's crazy how it's across the board when it comes to alternative, quote unquote, meats, like plant-based meat, petri meat, insect meat, or whatever you want to call it, all these fake proteins they're throwing out there. I mean, they said it was going to be less expensive. That turns out to not be the case. They said it was going to be healthier. That turns out to not be the case. They said there's going to be this huge boom and the people are going to embrace it. That turns out to not be the case. It's just like, it's like government, right? It's like all these expectations that they set in the beginning and it turns out to be false. I look at the screen, I think of plant-based meat, and I think of Mike Johnson, okay? It's just been a huge disappointment from the beginning, and yeah, there we are. Impossible Burger, it's kind of like the Impossible Speaker. They're one and the same, not meeting obligations.
Yeah, well, I think most people at home can understand, especially that comparison you just gave us. It's amazing. I'm a big fan of it. Obviously, Speaker Johnson's a failure, and so is all these plant-based businesses. And, you know, I remember when I was working at Fox News and Fox Business, specifically Fox Business was pushing these plant-based products because they were going public, and they were so excited because they thought this was going to be massive, and it's turning out not to be. So I'm excited for that. Listen, most Americans don't want these products. They know that they're all just chemicals that are bad for you. And I think, you know, I've spoken to a couple of my friends. They've told me that after they eat these products, so they are vegetarians. After they eat these products, they don't feel good about themselves afterwards. And let's be honest, I eat meat every day. I eat red meat every day, specifically steak. And I feel amazing. And so I couldn't imagine having to turn to a alternative meat like plant-based meats. And I think they call it plant-based meat just to kind of throw everyone off. But it's all just chemicals at the end of the day. And
yeah, so many ingredients.
Yeah. If you can't, my path, like my rule of thumb all the time, I should say, is if you can't read the ingredients on the back of the packaging, don't put it in your body. It's probably awful for you. And so rightfully so, all these Americans are rejecting it. And I think it's a great thing in itself. So we'll see how this plays out. But JD, like I mentioned, listen, I love the carnivore diet. I'm a big fan. And I think it's really important for Americans to have an alternative, not an alternative meat, but an actual alternative plan in case, you know, these World Economic Forum freaks get what they want. And that would be to eliminate our great meat products, especially our beefs. So you have a product that is incredible over at briannameat.com. You have these amazing cuts of meats that last up to 25 years shelf life. And I'll let you take it away from there to describe detail exactly why they're able to last 25 years and why our audience should start building up their own supply.
Well, they say, as you noted, the chemicals and the ingredients in all these food, there's two ways to preserve food, okay? You've got the modern way, which is chemical, okay? It's always been chemical. And it's like, Well, we throw in preservatives and we throw in this, that, or the other. And there are old school chemical ways of doing it, but today's modern variation is really about trying to throw in as many ingredients as possible to make food that's not really food appear to be food and taste like food. And you know, I don't know if you saw that where they cut open the drumstick and let it sit there for the ice cream drumstick, mm-hmm. and then let it sit there for a couple of days and it didn't melt. How's that ice cream? Who knows? but when it comes to briannameat.com, the food we have there has one ingredient. It's beef. So we're not doing it chemically. People ask, how do you keep it good for 25 years? It's because we're cooking it sous vide, okay, that retains nutrition and flavor. And then we are freeze drying it, which takes out all the moisture. We take it and we put it into secure, thick Mylar bags with oxygen absorbers. And we seal it up. And if you, at that point, you don't have to refrigerate it. You can put it in your closet, your pantry, your attic, your basement, whatever. Just keep it anywhere that you can and you can store it away. But here's the thing, and this is the important part. With most foods, okay, most, you know, whether it's the carbs, if you're eating carbs or other meats or whatever, oils, a lot of times what people will do is, and I recommend this, they'll say, okay, so I've got food for the next 2 weeks, I got food for the next 2 months, for the next 2 years, and then for the next 20 years. Beef is the exception. And the reason I say that is because with beef, you go and we got the one gap. Like the jump is you got the beef that's fresh and you got the beef that's frozen that can last up to, you know, 12 to 18 months. But beyond that, like canned beef isn't very good. Okay. Mm-mm. This is why we do freeze dried, because we are able to cover, like, from now today, once the beef is out of your fridge and you're sitting there, let's say you're locked in for some reason, whatever's happening in the world, you're bugging in and you're needing to eat, having a supply, a store of meat at briannameat.com is going to help you to survive today. It'll help you to survive tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, all the way up to 2049 if you're able to stockpile enough of it. And the easiest way to do that, by the way, two things. You use promo code BREE so that you can get 25% off for a limited time, and you can also subscribe and save, have it shipped every month, and you'll get an additional 10% off. So we're very excited about what's happening over at briannameat.com because folks need it. Folks, you know, they don't want to eat bugs. They don't want to eat fake meat from, you know, it's grown in a lab, or fake meat that's just chemically originated from various plant-based objects. We want actual beef, and that's what they get at briannameat.com.
Yeah, and I think it's a great product that you guys have because, number one, I use it myself. If you've eaten it myself, I can attest to just that. You are tasting the actual cut of the beef. It's not like something like beef chunks or something gross, or whatever they call it these days. It's disgusting. This is actually something that I eat, and I have eaten it, so I'll attest to that. But it's lean. You're getting the leanest cut. You're not getting the fat and the stuff that you don't want. You're getting the leanest cut of the protein, which is really important, especially if you're in a situation, let's say hurricane comes and you're trapped in your home for 2 weeks, snowstorm, you never know. You could rely on this, that you're not going to get fed a bunch of fat. You're going to be getting the best of the protein, which is important. And one of my other favorite things about this, if you're somebody like myself who lives in an apartment, these products are super light because, again, it's dry freeze, but you could store it in your closet and your closet space, and it takes up very little space, and it's very, very reliable for these important times. And so it's a good thing to slowly build up your supply, like I've recommended for you guys for quite some time now, because you never know when you're going to need it. You can always end the subscription whenever you're ready to stop it from coming in all the time. But I think it's incredible. And then you're getting the 35% off when you use Brie. You're getting the 10% as well. And then you're also getting free shipping. And then you're also going to donate 10% of your proceeds to a great veteran cause. So there's really just very little to kind of jump in there and say, I don't know, maybe next time. No, no, no. Now is the time to do this because you never know. The 25% off discount isn't going to last forever. It's temporary. And we're going to keep pushing that on here on this show. But now would be the time to pair that all up. Get max it out, get 35% off plus the free shipping plus the donation to a veteran cause with promo code BREE. Now, I know you mentioned briefly, you know, the packaging and how it's able to last forever or up to 25 years, but I want to talk about the cuts of beef specifically. What are your favorite cuts that you like to point our audience's direction in? And then what's the best way for them to kind of to save more money than what you're already doing? Because I noticed that you guys have like these packages that are, I don't know how to describe it, but they come with multiple different items in there rather than just the individual bags itself. So tell us a little bit about that option.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, number one, the first answer to your question is it actually has shifted lately. We offer ribeye, which has always been traditional. When I go to a steakhouse, I order a ribeye, medium rare, if not rare, depending on where it is. New York strip, which has quickly become, by the way, my favorite as far as not at the steakhouse, but when I order at when I get my bags, because we are, you know, we're not just the club for men president or whatever that saying is. I actually do eat our beef on a regular basis. Tenderloin / filet mignon, that is a lot of people. That's what a lot of people like. I'm going to come out and say it. It's not my favorite. It's just because, you know, I'll order a filet at a steakhouse. Usually I want something bigger, and maybe there's that mentality, but I'm not, I don't get, and people, folks, I'm telling you this honestly, that's our most expensive one. That's not my favorite. Okay. Yeah. And then of course we've got the tried and true original steak, which is a combination of sirloin, chuck steak, picanha. It's got the cheap cuts, but those cheap cuts are still exponentially better than literally everything else that's out there on the market right now, because it is the lower end of the highest quality meat out there. As far as packaging, look, we've got it. We want to figure out how to save people money. You know, some people, look, it's not like this stuff is cheap. Oh, well, let's go pick it up for $15 or whatever and get a bag. No, I mean, you're going to spend hundreds, even thousands of dollars, but we've made it to where if you are going to spend quite a bit of money on your family's food security, if you're going to try to make sure that you have enough food to last you for at least months, if not years, then You can get 4-packs. You can get 10-packs. You can get variety packs. We've got one in particular we call the Prepper Variety Pack that has all sorts of stuff. Our most popular item right now, the one that sells the most, is the 10-pack of regular freeze-dried steak. People, the general consensus is they'll go, people will buy one bag and be like, okay, let's see if this really is edible. They'll rip it open. They'll put it in there. Hopefully they read the instructions first so they don't just take it in their mouth because it is freeze-dried. Okay, yeah. Don't open the bag and stick it in your mouth like a potato chip. You got to rehydrate it in hot water, hot broth, whatever, for a few minutes, and then you're good to go. They taste it. They do that. They taste it. It's like, oh, crap, this really is good. Let's go back to BriannaMeat.com. Use promo code Brie for 25% off. Get the 10% subscription. And let's get the 10-pack because the 10-pack is the best way. I mean, talk about maximum savings per bag. Get the 10-pack on the subscription with the promo code and, you know, Colonel Mustard in the library with the candlestick.
Yeah. Listen, it's great. I've eaten it myself. I'm telling everyone right now. The rehydration process too, for me, was just simple. I boiled beef broth. I poured it over. I kept it separate. I didn't put the meat onto the pot. I poured it over the beef and then I let it sit there for a few minutes. I, you know, mixed it around a little bit so that it would all evenly kind of get rehydrated, but it was pretty easy to do. And then I waited and just for my own personal preference, I love like teriyaki sauce, soy sauce. So I use that. I use my soy sauce to kind of spice it up a little bit, but you can use whatever you want. And it's very, very easy. And if you're in one of these situations where you don't have access to, or your food in your fridge has gone bad, this is a great alternative for you. And again, it's an investment because it will last up to 25 years if you store it properly, like in a closet, in a dry space, space away from critters. You could really maximize this product. I'm a big fan. I'm a very big fan, J-Day. We brag about this all the time, but it's a great product, a great service. It's not something that's being offered by everyone in this industry. You guys are the top of the pick when it comes to this. So again, folks, when you head over to BriannaMeat.com, we made it easy by using my name in there, of course, BriannaMeat.com. You could secure 25% off with promo code Brie. That's B-R-E. And then if you subscribe, which I highly recommend you do to build up that supply, you get an extra 10% off. You're also getting free shipping, and then you're also donating your proceeds as well, which I love. So again, folks, it's BriannaMeat.com, promo code Brie. JD, as always, we love speaking to you. So thank you for joining us today.
I love being on your show. You are actually quickly becoming my absolute favorite show host. And I'm not talking about just the people that interview me. I actually watch your show. And that's incredible. Aww. Because I don't watch anybody's show. And you just nail it. You're the best guest. You do awesome stuff. I know I'm never going to get the call again and be like, dude, we don't want to talk to that creeper. It's not about that. It's about high quality journalism and great stuff. And you've got an incredible audience. So I'm very blessed to be here.
Thank you, JD. We appreciate everything that you do as well. You've got a great podcast as well. And so again, our audience should head over there too and subscribe because while we listen, I know one of our producers, Avery, sent over a clip that she wanted me to listen to of your most recent show. I think it was from 4 days ago. So we all took a listen to it. So thank you, JD. We appreciate your time.
Take care.
All right, fellas and the ladies, Mother's Day is just a few days away. I think we've got about 19 days left. And so if you're at home right now wondering, what do you even get your mom? Well, she's a patriot. She loves this country and she loves a good night's sleep. I've got a suggestion. It is MyPillow, of course. MyPillow products are incredible and I highly recommend, these are my favorite picks. So I highly recommend these are the ones, if you haven't tried them out or you haven't gone with the new 2.0 line, you give this a serious, serious look. Now, he's also got great prices, Mike Lindell, right now on the website. And folks, when you use promo code Brie, that's B-R-E, you're getting the best discount available. So you got to plug that discount. Look at that, folks. I mean, he's got some slippers with the promo code that are $25, it looks like. Buy one, get one free gets you. He's got so many great deals. Now, speaking of slippers, I wanted to bring you to some of my favorites. Now, as many of you know, I talk about the show. I've given my friends my slippers and even my mom and my dad, they have them too as well. But I've given them there's two of them. So my mom has these. But my friend Allie's got these. And these women slip-on slippers are amazing. She got the ones in pink. She loves them. She says they're amazing. They feel so soft. And especially, you know, if you're a lady who wears heels quite often at work, this is a good solution for you. So I'd highly recommend you get yourself one of those or your loved one, whether it's your wife, your girlfriend, your mother, your mother-in-law. You gotta snag a pair of the My Slippers, okay? Now, if you're really, really feeling very, very kind. You could do these Giza bed sheets because, well, these Giza bed sheets are serious, serious deal. I love them. I have the ones in white for myself. And honestly, folks, it's a thick material, but it's not too thick where you feel like you can't breathe at night and you feel hot. It's perfect. It cools you, it feels like, at night. It just, you feel very relaxed, but it's not like a cheap, thin fabric. It is a great quality. So again, the My Giza bed sheets, you got to snag a pair of those. And right now with the promo code, it looks like it's about $39.98, depending upon the size that you guys do snag. But again, that's a great deal. I think it's probably one of the best deals I've seen so far on his website. He also has flannels, which are great. I also personally do love the pajamas as well. So this one right here, I actually do have, and I have to say these are very, very soft and incredible. So I've given you three of my options. I recommend you head over to mypillow.com. And when you do so, if you want to snag the best deal, you got to do so with the promo code BREE. That's B-R-E, because that will get you the best discount, up to 66% off. The discount does vary on each item. So again, use the promo code BREE. That's B-R-E. When you're checking out to get the best savings imaginable. And guess what? You're supporting this show. You're also supporting Mike Lindell. And then you're gifting your loved one a great gift for Mother's Day. So you can't go wrong with this. So head over to mypillow.com and use promo code BREE. Now, folks, we are all done with our show for today. But don't you worry. We're going to be back here again tomorrow with so much more to unpack. And, well, it's going to be another crazy, crazy show. So thank you for joining us tonight. We look forward to seeing you here again tomorrow. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.